Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We are now in the getting towards the end of Masechet Yevamot and Daf Kuf Chaf, Amud Aleph, for the third mission of the final Perek, and discussing about the issue of Eitut Isha, as it's commonly known, testimony that a man has died to allow his wife to marry. And this Mishnah deals with what has to be actually seen by the witnesses in order to testify. They have to testify that they saw the face, including the nose, even if they didn't see that, even if his body or his clothes have certain distinguishing marks, that's not good enough. They also have to testify that they actually saw him die, not dying. Even if they saw him cut up, or the saluv, or crucified, or they saw him being devoured by animals. We'll see lots of caveats on this in the Gemara. You also have to testify within 3 days of death, because afterwards the body decomposes and becomes unrecognizable, at least for our purposes. Rambam says that that's a subjective thing. There's some bodies that may last longer, and under certain circumstances, the body may be preserved longer, depending on weather, humidity, etc. Let's say someone sees a forehead, but not the face. Or just the face, not the forehead. Need that plus the nose. Now, by the way, of Kahana, Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports that? Or an allusion? It's pasuk number one on the page. Hakarat prehem amta antabam. Recognizing their face was the response. In other words, this is the curse against the women of Yerushalayim. It's, you can see on their face that they were guilty, and it's the recognizing the face, the entire face. Abba Marta, the Habe, Abba Bamanumi. This was his name. Have Maskibe de Veresha Galuta Azuse. The Veresh Galuta's household was a creditor to him, was coming after him for money. Aiti Kera Dovat Bavleta Dovat Bapute. He took some paraffin, evidently, and stuck it with a fabric or some sort of a towel, so they put it on his face. And Chalaf Kamayu v'lo b'shakara. And he passed in front of them, and they didn't recognize it. The point of that story being that the main recognition of somebody, of who somebody is, so we obviously know, is by recognizing their face, the same as the pasuk in Yishayahu. Now, the Mishnah said, "Al pishish simanim b'kelav b'gufo," even though there are distinguishing marks on his body, on his clothes, nonetheless, it's not good enough. So the remainder of the Siman Lav Doraita, you're going to tell me that Simanim do not constitute the Doraita identification? Or meaning, we have a challenge to this in Halacha about a found get. Let's say they found a get, and it was tied to a particular pouch, or a wallet, or a particular ring, which in Saben Kilav, it was found among a person's other vessels, Afin was Man Meruba, even a long time after the date of the get, Kosher. Which proves that Simonim are Doraita, which were willing to divorce this one, have his wife declared divorce and marry another man, based on the Simonim that point to her husband as being the proper Megarish. Amarvai lo kasha harab liyazim and machavai ha rabbanan. We'll see there's a machloket to Tanya. Ein midin al hashuma. Shuma is a like a mole or some sort of a mark, a wart, whether or not that's testimony. Or liyazim and machavai omer midin. So my love, Bahakim Yapalgi, the Marsavasimanim go right to Marsavasimanim Darabanan. So isn't that because Rabbi Lazar Mavai says Simanim are Da'oraita, and he would be the author then of the ruling about the get, and Rabbanan would be the ones who say Simanim are not Da'oraita, therefore Shuma is not a valid Siman. It's not enough. You need to really see the face, and therefore they would not accept the ruling about the get. My love, Bahakam Yipalgan, Arsavasimon, Doraita, Arsavasimon, Dorabon, and Rabbah, the Kulam, Simon, and Doraita. Rabbah says, everybody agrees, Simon, and Doraita. Hacha, Bashuma, Mitsuyam, Ben Gilokam Yipalgan. Here we're talking about warts that are fairly common among people of his age and height and build, etc. Marsa, Bashuma, Mitsuyam, Ben Gilok, Marsa, Mitsuyam, Ben Gilok. So simply a machloket about reality, whether or not it's a common feature of people of about the same age and height, etc., and therefore whether it's a distinguishing mark at all. Here's another possibility. Is the question is whether a wart, again, it's a machloket about a reality, which ultimately could be tested, where the reward is something that after death changes. Rabbanan say that it changes after death, and therefore what you see on this dead body does not help you at all to know who it was before. Says it doesn't change afterwards, and therefore if you see that mark on him at that point, it's a valid siman. Good. Some people read it the other way. I'm a Rava called Yama Siman Darabana. But Rava said the opposite. He said everybody agrees that Simanim Darabana and Simanim are not enough to get us across the threshold of credit of testimony for Delraita law. Haha Bishuma Siman Mufakamipaldi. The machloket about between Rabbalazam and Mavai and Rabbanan about the Shuma is whether or not a Shuma is called a Siman Mufak. Everyone will agree that a Siman Mufak, a clear and unique and well-known siman, it certainly is Doraita. The question is something that fails that test. The question is a Shuma pass that test? Marsa siman mufak, or Blazman Mavai says siman mufak, and therefore it's good testimony. Marsa Rav siman mufak, just how much do we define awards as being that unique? Well, the Hachlash Rav siman Doraita, but now go back to the first approach in which Rav said siman Doraita. And our Mishnah says, even though there's simanim on his body or on his clothes, we still can't testify. How come? So the answer is, gufo da'aruch v'gutz. The only thing that they're seeing is that he was tall or short. It's not unique simanim, but just the fact that this guy is a tall guy, like the guy who we thought died. And what's kelav de chashin and shelav? Why don't we testify about his clothing? Because we're concerned. Maybe he borrowed his clothing from somebody else. And in other words, maybe this guy is somebody else, and the fellow whose clothing we see is still alive, so can't testify that he's dead. But if that's the case, that we're always concerned that somebody who we find may not be the person whose clothes it is, because he might have borrowed them. So chamor b'simaneu kafei chimadunan. So how do you ever return a chamor to its owner, a donkey to its owner, based on the unique symbols on the saddle, which is halacha bat metzia? The answer is, lo shayli in sheyuchpa. People don't lend that out. No, people don't borrow a saddle. The maskib le v'chamra. Because that scratches or hurts the donkey, because the saddle has to be made exactly for this particular donkey, so it doesn't hurt him, so they're not going to swap it for another, lend it to another person. They may lend the saddle with the donkey when they're lending the donkey. That's a different story. So go back to the Gittin case. Found a get that was tied to a money pouch or something. How can you return it? Maybe this money pouch was borrowed from another fellow, and so it was found in Plony's property, but it's really not Plony's pouch, and therefore the get belongs to somebody else. The answer is that people don't lend those out either. Tabat, people don't lend out a signet ring because Chayish was Yufid. They don't want someone else to forge their documents. Keys for Arniki, they won't lend out money pouches. This is a little bit of sorcery. The people are concerned that somebody else is going to try to do witchcraft on it. The other way to go is to go back to where we were when we talked about why in our Mishnah the simanim of a body are not enough, because all we did was very simple, tall or short. Same thing with clothing, red or white clothing. There was nothing very unique. So when the Mishnah said simanim, and this is more appealing because it has kelav and gufo being in a similar vein, that when I said simanim, it didn't really mean special, unique simanim. It just meant that, this guy's tall and the guy found was tall. This guy, you wear red clothes and you wear red clothes. And nothing very unique. Good. Now, the next statement in Mishnah was that even if you see the guy miguyad, which really means cut up, you can't testify he's dead. So, the name of the miguyad chayi, so you're going to tell me that people who are cut up like that live? Or mean he, adam eno matame ashtet tzenaf sho. Person is not matame until he dies. Even if he's cut up, or even if he's on his deathbed, so we say, of course, he's not matame. But clearly we're talking about people who are going to die. The only question is, are they matame yet? So they're not matame yet, but they're certainly going to die. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar, our Rabbanan. It's a machloket between these two Tanaim, Rabbi Shimon Elazar and the Rabbanan. Tani me'idin al meguyad ve'in me'idin al atzaluf. If one opinion says you could testify about somebody who was cut up, but not somebody who was hung up on a crucifix. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, You cannot even testify about a meguyad. So we see there's a machloket tanaim about seeing somebody who's cut up like that, whether you can testify about him being dead. Why? He could sort of solder, if you will, the cuts and suture them and live. Now, only meets about the Lukumi Kor Shimon Elazar, since when? So therefore you're going to say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who says that you can't live after that. And that you could live after, we're saying that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who says you could still live after being cut up like that, because you could suture the wounds. And therefore, our Mishnah that says you cannot testify about somebody who's Mikliyad is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. We might say Lukumi Kor Shimon Elazar, since when, how could you possibly say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Elazar? But Hakatani Sefer, look at the end of the Mishnah, which is going to come up in a couple of Mishnayot. Maaseh Ma'asya Behan Shishol Shalu Leyam. There's a story that happened where in this particular place on the coast, where there was somebody that they lowered into the sea, V'lo Altavi Adam El Raglo. They reached in to grab him up, and all they got was his leg. If they got the leg and they got from the foot up above the knee, then his wife can marry, which means there's no way that he could have suffered a wound like that and not died. But if it was below the knee, then she can't marry, because perhaps he lost, he's somewhere with a stump. So you see that somebody who's cut up possibly could live. So the answer is Shani Maya Demar. Will certainly not live. The answer is Shani Maya Demar Zumaka. Because if the person's in the water is going to hurt the wound and make the wound that much harder to heal while he's in the water. And therefore, if you pull him up and you find that you've got you've got a stump that goes to above the knee, then you know for sure that he's died. And there's no way. That's a case like Miguyad, except he's in the water, because you know the water is not going to allow him, as opposed to otherwise. That's why you specifically the fire, the chvot, is that you would use a suture to heal him. The water is going to puff up the skin and probably introduce some sort of infection also, and make it impossible to heal. I once saw an Arab. Shakil saf sire the guide of the gamle. I saw this Arab take a sword and cut up his camel. He was angry at him. And the camel continued to bray. Yeah, the camel was dying, and the last thing it did was bray. He said, no, you know what was happened there was it was a hot, very hot knife, and when he cut it, it actually sutured the wound as he was cutting. And that's why the camel was able to scream, if you will. Good. The next thing we saw was that even if you see a miguyad, saluv, which everybody agrees a person could live after being hung up on a cross, you see him up there on a cross, you walk away, and it's a very, unfortunately, it's a very common thing that the Romans did to publicly execute. And it was interesting to see the last scene in Spartacus with all of those slaves up there on the crosses. But of course, just because he's up there doesn't mean he's dead. And if somebody lowers him and gets him down, he should certainly live. So you certainly can't testify about that. But the last thing that was mentioned as the circumstances where we do not testify that he's dead was if wild animals are eating him up. This is only true if they're eating him up in somewhere that is not life-threatening, his leg or something like that. But if they're eating, the Rambam gives an example, they're eating his brains or something, then Meidin, you can testify he's dead. Let's say that somebody cut a person's two simanim, the carotid and the jugular, or a majority of each one of them, all the way through one and cut through part of the other. And the fellow then ran away, Meidin, you could testify he's dead, because he's not going to get far. Let's say that somebody, intentionally or otherwise, cut the two veins, the artery and the vein, and then the fellow afterwards indicated somehow, I want you to write a get for my wife. He loves his wife, they have no kids, his brother's a schnook, the typical example. Then they could still give it, which means the guy's not dead, because if he's dead, they can't give a get. So the answer is Chayu was so full of mut. You're right, he's dead, but he's living, and they can give a get now, but he's not going to live for very long. And you can certainly testify that he is dead if you saw him with those cut. Alamiata, you had gold al yado. So if that's the case, if someone inadvertently cuts somebody there, he should go into exile because that's considered an act of murder. According to what you just said, that's an act which may not kill him on the spot, but very soon he'll be dead. We have a bright that says you do not go into galut for such an act. There's a good reason for that, because we think that perhaps after you cut him like that, then he was in a place of a very drafty, and that kind of sped up the death. Inami shama'ihu koyev mekir metato. Maybe the fellow himself, through jittering and being all upset and traumatized, maybe he sped up his own death. So as you're not responsible for him dying this moment, you may be responsible for the fact that he's terminal and in a fatal situation, but that's not enough for galut. So now, my benayu, what's the difference between those two approaches? Let's say that you shachted him inside a house where there's really no wind whatsoever, but the guy was mefarches, he convulsed afterwards. Inami the shachted bevar v'lo pirches. Or let's say you shachted him outside and he didn't convulse, then it would only be according to the reason it says that perhaps the wind affected him, but not the other one. And the first approach would have the opposite, that it's only because of his convulsions. So that means that if you shechted him indoors and he didn't convulse and he died, then you have to argue that in that case you really would be gola, because you're the only proximate cause for his death. Good. Now, Rehuda, at the end of the Mishnah, said, Rehuda said that not all people are the same. There's not necessarily called his bodies are preserved longer than 3 days. You don't necessarily have a 3-day limit. Is he disagreeing with Kula? Meaning, you could even testify after 5 or 6 days, depending on the person, or only the chumra, meaning that in some cases even 3 days is too long. So Ashma, who gathered the top of a harmony? There was a fellow who drowned in this place. Vaskuhu abehedya levata fatiyom. They brought him out of the water after 3 days. The answer, Rav Dini married his wife off. In other words, he accepted it as good testimony, even though he was in for 3 days. And he must have been relying on Rabbi Yehudah Baba, and therefore Yehudah Baba is also the coolest, saying in some cases, even after 3 days, you can recognize him. Two, the guy with the Abba Bediglad, a fellow drowned in the Tigris River, they pulled him off on the bridge of Shvistana. That's the Rava Ledevito. Rava married his wife off. Apuma de Shushbini, Levata Chamishayomi, based on the testimony of the Shushbini and people who knew him, after 5 days. So if you accept that Rabbi Yehudah Baba was cholik lekula, then we understand how he could marry the girl off, even though the body was identified 5 days after dying. But if you say he disagrees with the chumra, so based on whose opinion are you letting her marry after, if it's a 5-day lag? So the answer is not necessarily. Shani maya ditzamti, because water will preserve the body. Which means it's possible that everyone would agree that if somebody's in water, even after a long time, you could testify. You just got through saying that water infects the wound and makes that if somebody's cut up, that it's impossible for them to live. You're right, if there's a wound, then the water really affects it. If somebody just fell in, then the water kind of keeps the body in one place and doesn't puff up. But that's only if you pull him out and you look at him right away. Let's say you pulled him out and then called people over, and it was a couple hours after he'd been in the water for a while, and he's lying out, then the body puffs up, and then there's really no way to identify. All right. The next Mishnah, this is all, of course, very traumatic stuff, if you take it on a reality-based level, but theoretically, of course, it's fascinating to try to figure out how we testify as to somebody's death. Now, follow mine. Bein she'eshna himself, bein she'eshna himself. A person falls in the water, drowning case, and whether the water has an edge or doesn't have an edge, meaning water that from where you're standing, you can see all the edges of the water, like a small lake or pond, as opposed to bein she'eshna himself, like an ocean or like a large sea or like a large lake. That's bein she'eshna himself. And water and a river, certainly. Ishto asura. So according to the first opinion, which we'll see is Rebbe Meir, if you fall in the river, unless somebody actually pulls out the body and identifies the body, the wife can't remarry, we don't know where the guy is. I'm Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir supports now this position. There was a guy who fell into a deep cistern. And he came out after 3 days. In other words, a person can live in certain circumstances for a long time, and the fact that you saw him go down doesn't mean that he's dead. We'll see some curious cases in the Gemara about this. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, Ma'aseh b'sumah sherad lipol b'ma'ara. There's a story about a blind man who went into a cavern to go into the mikvah. V'yarad moshcho acharav. And his aide went after him because he was afraid he was lost. They never came out. So they waited however long you figured a person could last underwater. And then they married their wives off. Meshuma said Maasya, we had this just a minute ago in the Gemara. I'm somebody that they were dragging out and falling into the water, they're pulling him out. All they pulled out was his leg. Again, we saw that depending on how much the leg they pulled out. But what do all these cases prove? That when somebody falls into the water, you can testify. Depends on the nature of the water and how much you pulled out, what you saw. If it is possible to testify, as opposed to a mayor, that you could testify that the man is dead. Good. Now, Tana Rabbanan. Now, follow my mention Shem Sof Ben Shem Sof Ishto Asura. They're a mayor. All right. So there's a bright that substantiates what we have in the Mishnah. Chacham Amimam Shem Sof Ishto Muteret. So Chacham say if it's water that has an end, then Ishto Muteret. But Shem Lam Sof Ishto Asura. But if it's water Shem Lam Sof, then she can't marry. What is the definition? Anything you can stand, you can see all four of the edges of the water on all four sides. Now, who got rid of Targa Be'agma the Samki? There's a fellow who drowned in a marsh. Rav Shila had his wife get married, allowed his wife to get married. Amalei Rav Shmuel. So Ravna said to Shmuel, let's throw him in Cherem. This rabbi, Rav Shila, is doing a terrible thing. He's allowing the wife to marry based on the fact that her husband fell into water in himself. And he's not married. And Malaysia Shmuel said to Rav, Nishlach Le Bereisha, first let's talk to him and let's see if he knows what he's doing and why he did it. And then, Shalchu Le Maim Shein Le Himself Ishto Asura Abutera. So they did it in a Socratic method. They asked him a question as if they're students. They said, tell me, Maim Shein Le Himself. You can, if you testify that a fellow fell into endless water, if you will, is his wife allowed or not to watch? He sent back a message saying, wife can't marry. That particular marsh, what is it? Is it visible or invisible? And he said, no, it's a endless water. So then they said, Umar my time, Avarachi, so why did you allow this guy's wife to marry based on that? So he said, Mita ta'ina. He said, I made a mistake. And Asar became under Kavu Vakaimu because the waters are relatively quiet, Kamaim Sheishtam Sof Dami. That it's like water that Sheishtam Sof. Meaning that I thought that Maim Sheishtam Sof is because there's waves and a person can get far away. Below he came under Ika Gali, but there are waves there. Amor Gali Ashbalu. Perhaps the waves have taken him away. So Kari Shmuel later, Rav. So what did Shmuel now say about Rav, who wanted to throw him in Cherem? He said, Lo Yu'unel at Tzadik Olavim. At Tzadik will never have a terrible thing happen to him. In other words, he was spared from making a terrible mistake of throwing him in Cherem. Why was he spared? Because of Shmuel's good advice. So, Kari Rav, Lady Shmuel, what did Rav say about Shmuel? Shmuel Barov Yoetz, there's great salvation with good counsel. So, Shmuel's good counsel saved Rav from doing a bad thing. Good. Tanya Amarevi, Maaseh b'shnei b'nei adam, mechamrin machmorin b'yardein. Two fellows who were fishing with nets in the Yarden. One of them went into a fish tunnel. The sun went down, he got dark underneath, he couldn't see the way out. So his friend waited as long as the guy could be underwater. He came back and he told him, my buddy died. Next morning the sun came up. This fellow is living in this cavern, which evidently has a raised part, so it's not all underwater. The next morning, the sun came up. Then he was able to see the exit. He came home and he found everybody's mourning for him. Obviously, they stopped mourning when he came. I'm a Rebbe, Kama Galim Diver Chachamim. So Rebbe said, see how wise the Chachamim are. Shamru Maim Shishtam Sofishtom Teretz Shainam Sofishtom Asura. Anytime that there's water, where you cannot see all the different edges of it, you can't say the wife can marry, because you never know. A guy could be in all sorts of places and could still be alive, unless you, of course, see the body. We're talking about drowning where you don't see the body afterwards. So then, even if it's an area where you can see all the boundaries, maybe the guy found some sort of underground cavern. The answer is, there are no such things in Mayim Sheish Lamsof. In very small little ponds, you don't have such things, but in rivers and in the large lakes, you do have such things. Amar Rashi, Hadam Rabbanan, Mayim Sheish Lamsof Ishto Asura, Hanimilit Be'inish Ta'alma. Rashi threw out a suggestion, which is that when we say Mayim Sheish Lamsof, the wife is Asur, what's the concern? The concern is that the husband may have surfaced somewhere else, and maybe walk around and nobody knows that he is, and maybe he's got amnesia, or maybe he's intentionally hiding from her, and therefore his wife can't marry. Aval, Surah Rabbanan, but a Tamin Chacham, lo, why? He did Soli Kali Eleif, because he was walking around, everybody knows about him, you'd hear about him. The Lohi, but we reject that. Lo Shna Yidish Da'amu, Lo Shna Surah Rabbanan, the Avan in the Chathil, we'll see about that in a little bit. But the upshot of it is that if a man falls into the water, she aim la himself, even if he's Tamin Chacham, his wife cannot marry. But in any case, no matter who he is, if she does marry, then we do not force her to separate based on the fact that it was Mayim Sheish Lamsof. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Pam Achat Hayiti Mehalech Basfina, was on a boat. Raiti Sfina Achat Shenishbura, I saw another boat near me in the water that had fallen apart and sunk. Raiti Mitzara Tamin Chacham Shavai, I was very upset because I knew there was a Tamin Chacham, a friend of mine who was on that boat, Umana Rabbi Kiva, was Rabbi Kiva. And then I came up on land. There he was. Rabbi Kiva was there and he was studying with me. I was obviously very happy. So how did you get saved? I found some flotsam. It was a piece of wood from another boat, or from my boat. Every time that a wave came, I nodded to it, as if sort of welcoming it to come. A person gets attacked, you're not able to rush out. You should nod your head and kind of go with the flow. Evidently, that's what it means. Because here you see Rabbi Kiva was out at sea and he made it. Now we have another brayta which takes us further. Tanya Amar Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, Mama Chat, Hayiti Melech Misfina, I was on a boat, Raiti Sfina Chat, Mitarefet Bayam. It wasn't broken, it was shaken up in the sea. Raiti Mitzara Tavon Chacham Shavah Amara Rab Meir. I was bothered because of my student, Rab Meir, who was on the boat. Shalitim Dinat Kaputkaya, I got to Kaputkaya, which is in Turkey. Bavi Yashav Adan Lefanai Balacha. He came and studied with me. I said, B'ni Mehi Alcha, how did you get out of the sea? Marley Gal Tirdani Lachaviro, Bachaviro, Lachaviro. One wave pushed me to the next wave, each to the next wave, Achi coming at the Kiani Labasha. So it vomited me up. This is borrowed, of course, from Yona. It vomited me up onto the land. Amarti Botasha, at that moment I said, Kamagolin de Rechachayim Shamru, Maim Sheshtam Sofishto Muteret, Maim Sheshtam Sofishto Asura. Tan Rabbana. Now follow Govariot, if a man fell into a lion's den. You can't testify that he's dead. So people come out of a lion's den. Story of Daniel, of course. But if you fell into a pit, it was filled with poisonous snakes and scorpions, then he's a dead man, you can testify he's dead. Even in such a case, you can't testify. A chaver here doesn't mean what it usually means, which is a member of the collegium of Chacham, but rather one of the Sasanians, or somebody who knows some magic and knows how to make incantations and to soothe the snakes. So why does Tanakama disagree? Tanakama, agav itit samazkilei. Once you hit them and fall on them, then that they're agitated and you don't get a chance to soothe them. By that time, they've already stung you and bitten you, and you're a dead man. If you fell into a crucible, a fiery furnace, to testify. L'yoram l'yah yayin v'shemen. I mean, Judge Hill is, of course, very interesting in light of the Gov Shal Arayot. L'yoram l'yah yayin v'shemen. If you fall into a pit filled with, a pot filled with boiling wine or oil, midin alav, you could testify that the guy's dead. Shuriyacham ru shel shemen midin alav, neshum avir. Yes, if he fell into a boiling oil, it boils, it kills you, you could testify he's dead. Shal yayin ein midin alav, neshum achabeh, but wine, how boiling wine is actually soothing, and it could put out the fire. Amru lo tchilatom achabeh sofom avir. They said that's only at the beginning, but afterwards, when it's on the body, it burns also like oil, and it would kill you. Good. Amar Meir, Maaseh Mechazon Father Bar Gadol. So Meir in the Mishnah substantiated his position of saying that you can never testify about somebody who fell into water because there was somebody who went into a great cistern and 3 days later they came out. Tan Rula Meir. So let's hear what happened. Ein Maskir Maaseh Nisim. The Chachamim said that's a nace, that's a miracle. Miracles cannot be used in a halachic discussion. So my Maaseh Nisim, what was the miracle? The fact that I didn't eat or drink for 3 days? That's what Esther told all the Jews and told Mordechai to tell to all Jews that her own girls would do for 3 days. That's not so miraculous. Ella Delonaim, the miracle is that the guy didn't fall asleep because the guy underwater in the cistern had to maintain his head above level. He couldn't fall asleep or he'd be dead. He didn't sleep for 3 days. Famous ruling. Yochanan said, if a person takes a shua that he won't sleep for 3 days, they give him makot right away, because there's no way he could keep that. He violated a shuat sheker, and a shuat shav, perhaps, and he has to go to sleep right away, or he can go to sleep right away. He's off the hook. Rameir might talk, so what did Rameir think? That they were inside this cistern, there were rocks, and the rocks are piled, so he actually was able to kind of put his head on the rock and nod off, so it wasn't such a miracle. He did sleep. Rabbanan, so what did the Rabbanan say? The Shishah, they were smooth like marble. Therefore, he could not put his head down. Therefore, he did stay awake. Therefore, it was miraculous. Rameir, he has shown the Masrich for 9 points. That's impossible. He didn't just put his head down and get a little bit of sleep. So there's nothing miraculous here. It was a normal case. And therefore, you see, a person could remain alive that long if he cannot testify. Tanaran, Masav, we told Shal Nechunya Chofer Shichin. Here was a guy who dug cisterns for the community. That's an important job. He did good things for the community. His daughter, Shnafal Borgadol, she fell into a cistern. They told Chanin Mendoza, the great miracle worker. So he said, Sha'ar Shana Amar Lahem Shalom. So the first hour she was in there, he said, she's fine. He's, of course, not in there. Shni'a Amar Lahem Shalom. The second hour, he said, she's fine. Shlishit Amar Lahem Alta. The third hour, he said, she's already out. Amar La Biti Mihalech. Then she was out, and he came to her and he said, how did you get out? Amralo Zachar Shavachelim Nizdaben Levis Akem Anigo. I saw a ram and an elder man leading him. This clearly is an allusion to Avmavinu, some miraculous visitation, and that's how she got out. Amrulo Naviata, so the people said, what are you, Navi, that you knew she was alive and now you knew she was out? Amramlo Navianochi, borrowing the Lashon from Amos Zion. Is it possible that this tzaddik is involved in digging pits to help the community and his own children will be hurt by the same thing? Not possible. Therefore, she had to be in good shape. Yeah, but the story has a sour ending because Amar Rabbi Abba became mit penovat sama. Nonetheless, his son's own son died of thirst. And why is that? And what's strange about that? Because here his father is digging a cistern, so people will have water supply, and his own son dies of thirst. And what's the pasuk? Shenemar usvivav nisara meod. Right, that those around Hakadosh Baruch Hu are very tumultuous, and storm-driven. Right, melamed Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'adekim svivav kechut asara. The drasha on that is very famous drasha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is exacting with those who are around him like a hair's breadth. Right, so if this nechunya did one thing wrong, so he takes that on the son. He is very awed and revered among those who are around him because he's so exacting with them. Tov, we will pick up Mirtz Hashem in the final podcast of Masachet Yevamot, which will be the next podcast. If you are listening to this as it's being published, it's going to be coming out in just within the hour. And then we will move on to more of Masechet Ketubot. Everyone should have a wonderful day.